Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 26th of October 2015, the podcast that's afraid not. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Chris Hangartner. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Shane, it's nice to be back.
Let's colonically irrigate the news of the bogus. So we figured out a long time ago that there were leakers other than Edward Snowden. And in fact, Glenn Greenwald, Laura Poitras, and others founded The Intercept as a way for at least someone in the press to continue the sacred journalist tradition of keeping their sources secret. Now, they've received a huge cache of documents pertaining to the CIA and the U.S. military's drone assassination programs in Afghanistan, Yemen, and Somalia. And we're not going to go through all of them, but I thought we'd hit some highlights.
What is the government doing now?
Well, most of it is what we figured. It's just a lot of details and confirmations.
Yep, targeting people without just cause, you know. It's just, they have a connection to a terrorist group, so let's just blow them up. No trial, no nothing.
Yep. The first drone strike outside of a declared war zone was 12 years ago, but even after a set of standards and procedures was released in May 2013, it's still the case that they're done without any standards as to who should be killed or what, if any, review is done afterward. They use the phrase trust, but don't verify.
Yeah, that's totally not going to backfire in the future for the U.S. government. I actually remember reading this, that it was the drone strikes that the reason why Pakistan, who was once our biggest ally in the war on terrorism, you know, finally told the United States, we're going to stop supporting your operations because we kept bombing their cities with these drones without their permission.
Yeah, I mean, what do we think would happen?
Yeah.
What would America do if, Britain or someone started dropping bombs on our cities?
Yep.
You know, and say, hey, what kind of ally are you here?
Yeah, and because I have a couple of friends, you know, who had once served in the military, and they agree that was a stupid decision on the U.S. government part because the Pakistanis were very influential in the Middle Eastern region, and they were very valuable allies for helping us give us leads to where a lot of these terrorists really were. But because we pissed them off, now they're going to say, not only are we not going to help you anymore, if some of these terrorists, you know, come to us seeking political refuge, we're going to grant it to them.
And although this is absolutely a program of assassination, they don't call it that. They've given it its own newspeak term, targeted killings.
Oh, yeah, just like how they said, oh, no, we're not torturing our prisoners. We're just doing special interrogation techniques.
Enhanced interrogation techniques.
Oh, yeah, that's what they were called.
Yeah. They've got all sorts of other newspeak terms in there as well. When they kill their target, it's called a jackpot.
Yeah, I think John Stossel did actually a thing like this on Fox News where he called it Say What, and it talks about the political terms that politicians use to mask their real intentions and all that.
Yeah, and the term newspeak, of course, comes from George Orwell's 1984. Where he talked about that effect.
Yeah, because telling people that we assassinated a foreign adversary without a trial doesn't look good on the press papers, so...
Yeah. Now, if they kill someone other than the target, it's EKIA, or Enemy Killed in Action. It's not the target, but they're still the enemy.
Yeah, well, what's the enemy, you know?
Yeah, the enemy is whoever they kill, because if they weren't the enemy, we wouldn't have killed them, right?
Yeah, we killed the target, and we also killed the, 15 citizens that were standing around him. Mission accomplished.
Well, check this out. According to these documents, over a 5-month period in Afghanistan, 155 people were targeted. They got 19 jackpots. Okay, so they got 19 out of the 155 people they targeted. They killed at least 136 others, and all of those were classified as EKIA. Quote, if there is no evidence that proves a person killed in a strike was either not a man, MAM, that's military age male, or was a man but not an unlawful enemy combatant, then there is no question. They label them as EKIA. Anyone caught in the vicinity is guilty by association. They make the numbers themselves so that they can get away with writing off most of the kills as legitimate. There is no guarantee that those persons deserve their fate.
Yeah, so let's say if instead of being killed by the U.S. Navy SEALs, Osama bin Laden was killed by a drone. What if there were, babies nearby and they were killed, you know? Does that mean they're enemy combatants by association?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's the attitude that they said when they basically gunned down that hospital not too long ago.
Yeah, because it didn't have the Red Cross logo on it, but it had the Doctors Without Borders logo on it. I don't know. Whatever.
The funny thing is that the crew of that gunship that did the gunning, they do regret what they did, and they actually questioned the order, but the military higher-ups ordered them to do it anyway. It's like that line from the movie Outbreak where he's trying to get them to stop dropping the bomb on the city because they have a cure for the disease, you know, and Cuba Gooding Jr. tells Dustin Hoffman, they're not going to listen to you. They're trained not to listen to you.
Yeah. Now, when they target someone's phone and take it out, it's called a touchdown. But they're using metadata as the determinant of whom to target, and that's very unreliable. Quote, it requires an enormous amount of faith in the technology that you're using. There's countless instances where I've come across intelligence that was faulty. You have to ensure that the person is actually there at that location because what you really intercepted was the phone. It's stunning the number of instances where selectors are misattributed to certain people, and it isn't until several months or years later that you all of a sudden realize that the entire time you thought you were going after this really hot target, you wind up realizing it was his mother's phone the whole time.
Oh yeah, that's actually happened with some drug raids. I've heard of stories where the DEA tracks down a cell phone number, they bust down the guy's door and scare his kids, kill his dog, and all that sorts of stuff, and then they say, okay, where are the drugs? It says, what drugs? You know, and it says, we intercepted text and cell phone saying you were going to sell cocaine, but I never sent that. Then they do federal investigation, and then it's like, oh yeah, that's right, you loaned it to your brother for a few months. He was doing the drug dealing. Sorry.
Or they just spoof the number. They can do that.
Spoof? What's that exactly again? Sorry, I'm not a techno geek.
That's when you make it look like you're coming from a particular number when you're really coming from a different number.
Oh yeah, trolls who like to do swatting do that.
Yeah. Now, the chain of command for a particular operation is a direct line known as a kill chain, and these documents confirm that it's a direct linear chain going all the way up to the president. According to one of the leaked slides, Obama approved each and every target. The Obamatons cannot worm out of their holy saint Obama getting the blame for these. Like they tried to do with the Doctors Without Borders Hospital. Show me the signed order from Obama! Oh, shut up.
It kind of reminds me when reminds me of the Bush era. You know, I mean, if Bush was caught doing something like this, he would have been criticized. In fact, he was. And, you know, I could even make the argument because I have heard Bush supporters, you know, say this, you know, well, Bush wasn't bloodthirsty and warmongering. You know, he was pressured by a lot of these older congressmen from the Clinton, because the truth is every single president, because Bush isn't the first president who wanted to go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, Clinton pushed for war. Bush's father did it. And I think even Reagan, you know, had a plan to go in.
Wouldn't surprise me. Now, the source also said that the technology gives the administration the feeling they have, quote, godlike powers, and leads to dehumanization, quote, they have no rights, they have no dignity, they have no humanity to themselves, they're just a selector to an analyst. You eventually get to a point in the target's life cycle that you are following them, you don't even refer to them by their actual name.
That's something that power does to people.
Well, and it's also how you can get people to obey those orders, and like you pointed out with the movie Outbreak, ignore the people who are trying to point out that you're doing a bad thing. You dehumanize the opposition. Then you're not really killing people. They're just targets. They're just blips on a screen.
Yep. I've actually heard stories, you know, this goes back to Vietnam, where, you know, that's the reason why Vietnam was so bloody, was because the U.S. Army was telling the soldiers, you know, you're not killing people, you're killing those evil communists. And the Vietnamese were telling their people, you're not killing human beings, you're killing those evil imperialists. Both sides don't see each other as human beings. They just see each other as an enemy on a target.
Yeah, I think I've pointed this out on the podcast before, but in World War One, we weren't fighting the Germans, we were fighting the Krauts. And in World War II, we were fighting, you know, the Japs and the slant eyes and...
Yep, and the sad truth is that some people still justify those actions. You know, I was talking with a friend, you know, about World War II, and he was talking and ranting about all the evil atrocities the Nazis did, which they did. But I also told him, but what about all those evil war crimes the U.S. and the Soviet Union committed against the native Germans? And he replied, but they were Krauts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so it's wrong for the Nazis to put a bunch of people in camps and kill them. But if the Soviet Union captures a bunch of innocent people and puts them in gulags in Siberia, that's justified? Give me a break.
I love that scene in Good Morning Vietnam where Robin Williams' character is defending his friend, a local Vietnamese kid, and, you know, these army guys are all like, well, we got to get the gooks out of here. And then he says, but then if you got rid of the gooks, then you'd have to get rid of the wops and the spics and the dagos, and all you'd be left with is a couple of drunken rednecks. And what fun would that be? So the source points out a lot of problems with this, including the fact that if you kill a suspect, you can't extract any valuable intelligence from him. And basically, up until the Obama administration, the CIA was saying, no, don't kill anyone. Capture them. keep them alive. There are a lot of them who would have loved to have had just 2 months with Osama bin Laden to see what they would have learned, but now they seem to have fallen all into this kill first and never bother asking any questions later.
Oh yeah, believe it or not, when Osama bin Laden was finally killed, people, you know, were cheering and applauding and saying, "Go America," but my friend Jason still knows some guys who are still in the army, one of whom's in Delta Force, and they were just screaming their heads off saying, "You idiots, think of all the information that bin Laden could have given us if we got him alive, and now he's dead and whatever information he had has gone with him."
And it's not just the information. What might we have learned about the psychology of that kind of person?
Yeah, you know, maybe he was a misguided human being, or maybe he was legitimately evil. Who knows? You know, we won't know because he's dead now. Another thing that gets forgotten about is that people like to think that, oh, now that Osama bin Laden's dead, all those Muslim extremists, you know, will say, oh no, our leader's dead, we should probably just give up. No, they're martyrizing him now.
And the source also confirms that by killing local insurgents, they increase the very threat the U.S. is trying to wipe out. Quote, "It's a very slick, efficient way to conduct the war without having to have the massive ground invasion mistakes of Iraq and Afghanistan. But at this point, they have become so addicted to this machine, to this way of doing business, that it seems like it's going to become harder and harder to pull them away from it the longer they're allowed to continue operating in this way."
And contrary to popular belief, Al-Qaeda is not dead. They're still around. They still have a presence in many parts of Iraq and Afghanistan. In fact, I think they're working with ISIS and other groups.
And we're arming them in Syria.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate the Assad government, but I don't think arming the rebels is any better.
Yeah.
It's funny about Syria because my friend Jason actually wrote this funny political cartoon which showed the situation in Syria. It shows Assad leaving a dinner table and there's all this half-eaten food and the table's labeled the Syrian population. Then ISIS comes in and Assad says, "Okay, you can finish off what I didn't eat."
It's a bit like arming the Bloods because you don't like the Crips.
Yeah, you know, the Crips are gone, but the bad news is that now you've got the Bloods in charge.
And now they're a monopoly power, yeah.
Honestly, I hope that the rebels and the Syrian government destroy each other and the Syrian people can start all over again, because I think that's what they need.
That's where people get this bogus idea of the power vacuum from. There's not a power vacuum. It's just the fact that if you get this idea, hey, we need to topple this guy, here are the guys fighting him, let's arm him so they'll topple him. Well, they aren't trying to topple him because they want a free country. They're trying to topple him because they want to be the tyrants.
Yeah, in all honesty, I think our founding fathers, if they could see us right now, they'd be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I'll let their source have the last word on this one. Quote, "All you have to do is take a look at the world and what it's become, and the ineptitude of our Congress, the power grab of the executive branch over the past decade. It's never considered. Is what we're doing going to ensure the safety of the lives and humanity of the people that are going to have to live with this the most?" Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. You know, the stupidity of social justice warriors never ceases to astound me. Timothy Boatwright is a transsexual who was born a girl, but self-identifies as male. By all accounts, he was welcomed on campus and treated well, until he decided to run for the school's Office of Multicultural Affairs Coordinator, and New Wave feminists hit the ceiling. Why? Because by changing his gender, Boatwright became a privileged white male, and putting him in that position would be perpetuating the patriarchy.
Oh, wow. Seriously, Social Justice Warriors, there's a reason why season 19 of South Park is dedicated to making fun of you guys.
Oh, it's great. I've been watching it.
Yeah. Although the endings are a little depressing, I think that's kind of the point.
Well, they're building the story up over the season. I think we'll see it wrap up in the season finale.
Yeah.
The last couple of seasons have been this way. I think this is going to be more of the thing. We'll have like a season-wide theme that they're covering.
So anyway, what are the social justice warriors doing to put this poor transgender guy's life down?
So when his opposition dropped out, leaving him the only candidate, one student created Campaign to Abstain on Facebook to encourage her classmates not to vote in the election at all. I'm sure that'll show him. Quote, I thought he'd do a perfectly fine job, but it just felt inappropriate to have a white man there. It's not just about that position either. Having men in elected leadership positions undermines the idea of this being a place where women are the leaders. So it's not about Boatwright as an individual. It is solely because he identifies as male. He wasn't even born a privileged white male, but I guess you suddenly get this privilege attached to you when you change your gender.
Yeah, and not to mention that line she said about how I just don't think a white male belongs here. Yeah, doesn't that kind of sound like what a Southern politician would have said during the 1950s? Well, a black person just don't understand our way of life. I don't think they belong here.
Yeah, this is a really strange sort of privilege they have. I haven't been able to figure it out yet.
You know, that's my biggest complaint with social justice warriors. I have no idea what they fucking want, you know, because they claim that they want peace and equality, but then they yell when something doesn't go their way and all that.
All I know is 10 years of skirting the shoals of the poverty level, I'd really like to know how I can get some of this privilege that everyone says I have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a white guy too, and people say, you know, that I'm a privileged white male. Why? I'm still living with my mom working a crappy job. Yeah, where are you, patriarchy conspiracy? I want in. I want in.
Or you're even in a worse situation like Dave is, so yeah.
Yeah, you know.
New Way feminists need to learn what sexism really means. If you're basing anything at all on someone's sex or gender, aside from medical issues that are particular to one sex or another, including, and maybe even especially, who should be allowed to run for particular offices, you are the sexist oppressor.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
Alright, there's a lot of bogosity in this next one. And the weird thing is, it's one of those cases where I don't know who to root for. Ronald Emmerich is a recording artist and music video producer who is suing for $325 million because the music industry, according to him, inhibited his ability to make that money. What happened was he signed up with Bluetooth Digital, which is a service that he pays to upload his videos to Vivo, which is a... It's kind of like YouTube, but it's backed by the major record labels.
Oh yeah, Vivo, I've heard of them.
Yeah, so his videos ended up being removed from Vivo, and in response, he filed a lawsuit against Google, Universal Music Group, Sony BMG, Bluetooth Digital, Vivo, and Warner Music Group, who isn't even partnership with Vivo.
Yeah, I mean... Okay, yeah, I can understand his anger, but I think he sued a little too much people, because here's the thing that people fail to realize. Google and YouTube, they legitimately do feel sorry, and they legitimately do hate taking down videos, but they have said time and time again, if a big major company tells us you gotta take down this video, we have to, because they can do a lot of damage to them.
Yeah. And apparently the amount he's out is actually $30.
Yeah, yes. You know, it's like, I agree with you here. I mean, yeah, I understand where he's coming from, but I don't think suing is the answer, people.
Well, he's calling the removal of the videos negligence because they, quote, had a duty of care and duty of loyalty to safeguard the plaintiff's intellectual property in the form of the 8 music videos. And he also claimed, quote, all 7 of the defendants have committed the intentional infliction of emotional distress. Gotta love that one.
Yeah, emotional distress.
Because it is and was extreme, outrageous, and egregious for them to remove 8 commercially released music videos copyrighted by the plaintiff. He also said they committed, quote, tortious interference with business relations and contracts by removing all 8 of the plaintiff's commercially released music videos, which would thereby prevent the plaintiff from being able to secure a commercial recording contract from any of the major record labels in the form of a 360 deal with cross-collateralization clause, controlled composition clause, and minimum delivery and release commitment.
It's weird. This is a weird one. I mean, yeah, on one hand, yeah, I can see his argument, but he's going too far with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a real long shot, I think, that he would have gotten this huge agreement.
Yeah, it's like saying if someone comes and scratches up your car and you say, well, I demand that you chop off their hand. It's like, yeah, I understand your anger, but that's going a bit too far.
Well, and also, as this Tech Nerd article points out, the terms and conditions allow them to do this. It says things like, quote, Bluetooth Digital shall be under no obligation to stream or otherwise use your content. And it also looks like this was an automated system that just went wrong. Apparently, Vivo inadvertently kicked off all of Bluetooth Digital's uploads. And in a response, they said, quote, Thank you for being patient, as we know your videos have been down for the past few weeks. This was due to a glitch found in Vivo's system, which they believe was a botted program used by one of our clients. This led to a long and tedious investigation, which policy was enforced and your videos being suspended until further notice.
Yeah.
But he's saying that they actually violated the DMCA, the Sonny Bono Act, the Audio Home Recording Act, which had to deal with the selling of blank digital media, and the Online Copyright Infringement Liability Limitation Act, which is the DMCA safe harbor. So, I mean, it's hard to see how any of those apply here. And in addition to the $325 million in damage, he's also, quote, requesting the equitable remedy of an injunction or specific performance mandating that the plaintiff Ronald Emmerich be offered a commercial recording contract by either UMG, Sony BMG, or WMG in the form of a 360 deal.
Yeah, the only thing I'm getting from this is why we shouldn't have copyright laws, because then you get this mess. Then you get, well, what's a legitimate copyright case and what's a bogus copyright case? Every case has to be investigated. That costs money. It's just,
yeah.
People, how about instead of filing all these lawsuits to protect your ideas, why don't you just keep creating?
Yeah. And apparently this is this guy's business model, because the Tech Nerd article also points out that in 2014, he sued Reverb Nation for fees about banner ad placement. And there was another case in court where, quote, he paid $160 to have 7 music videos entered in the Independent Music Awards contest, and he never heard back from them. And he claims that the defendants never watched or judged his videos, and he seeks monetary damage of $250,000 after paying $160. And an injunction mandating that the defendants accept an unlimited number of contest submissions from him free of charge.
Yeah, he kind of sounds like a patent troll, only instead of patent, he's abusing some of these copyright laws and all that.
Yeah, so he's not coming from any kind of defensible position here. But, really, I look at this and I think, how is this any different from what UMG and the others have done in piracy cases? Like, when you extrapolate their damages, you end up with more lost sales than the number of people on the planet, amounting to more money than exists anywhere in the entire world. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's another thing that people forget about, is that lawsuits are largely the reason why Virgin Records isn't doing so well, is because they're filing all these lawsuits that people are saying, you know what, fuck Virgin, we're not going to do business with them anymore. You know, lawsuits damages your reputation, it costs you clients, you know.
But it's still the case that the judges, and I agree with, you know, they're throwing all of these cases from him out. But when the music industry does it, they take it seriously. What's up with that?
Yeah, and the thing is with the music industry is that they have so much money and all that, that if they bring up this issue to a judge, you know, and the judge says, no, I'm going to throw it out of the course, they'll shop around and find another one.
Oh, yeah, or they'll do venue shopping. They'll try, you know, different states or even different countries.
Yeah,
that's why so many people who are sued for libel, they try to sue them in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's easier to do that.
Yeah, I think South Park made a joke like that for Scientology, where when Stan points out that Scientology is a scam, they just reply, we're going to sue you. Yeah, we're going to sue you in England.
Yeah.
Because the UK had a loophole in their law that says if they get a lawsuit for libel, they have to take it no matter what, I think.
And also, I don't know if they fixed it or not. A few years ago, they were discussing it. But at least before then, it had never been the case where truth was a defense to libel like it is in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now let's store and forward this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who introduced a horrible amendment into the already horrible CISA bill. CISA, C-I-S-A, is a faux cybersecurity bill called the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act, which allows for the sharing of information between the U.S. government and technology companies, which is more newspeak for spying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing that caused websites to go dark a few years ago in protest. You remember PIPA?
Oh, PIPA? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, that was, there was SOPA and PIPA and all those others, and they started going dark. White House was one of the co-sponsors of PIPA.
Mm.
Yep, they're still trying.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't what got White House this week's non-award. Not only is CISA a spying bill, but by centralizing all of this information with the government, it'll actually make us less secure. But that isn't what he got it for either. White House proposed an amendment with Lindsey Graham that would strengthen the terrible CFAA, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, and we've covered that before and talked about how it just makes it easy to prosecute fake crimes and not do anything about real criminals.
Yeah, because the law is so vague that, you know, basically anything could be classified as a crime under that law.
Yep. Well, even after White House altered the amendment to make it better, all that did was upgrade it from really terrible to bad.
Yeah. To quote AVGN from one episode, when he's reviewing a bad game that's better than another bad game, he says, that's not saying much. That's like saying the shit I took today was better than the shit I took last night, but it's still shit.
Yeah. But that still isn't what he got this for. See, the amendment has thankfully failed in the Senate, but you'll never guess how White House reacted. Did he consider the numerous really good points put forward by cybersecurity experts all over the world? No. He blamed its failure on, direct quote, the pro-botnet lobby. So the only people who could possibly be against this bill are criminals, and that's the only possibility because his amendment was bipartisan.
Yeah, you know, instead of admitting that your idea might be wrong, it's because there was a powerful lobby stopping you. A lot of socialists like to make that excuse for why their policies always end up failing.
Yeah, it's the Koch brothers.
Yeah, yeah, socialism didn't fail in this country because socialism's a flawed ideology. It's because these powerful people got into power and they undermined it.
Basically, the only people who are in favor of it are the ones who want to spy on us.
Yeah.
And White House is also in favor of backdoor encryption, which we've talked about. I mean, we really have to be the biggest of all computer illiterate morons to think that's in any way a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much a basic math fail.
I know jack shit about computers, and even I think that was a bad idea.
Well, as I've said before, if it lets the good guys in, it lets the bad guys in.
You know, I think that's the whole reason why they want to keep, you know, cybersecurity weak is because they want to make it easier for the NSA and all that to spy on you.
Yep. But they think they can do that and still keep it secure against foreigners and terrorists and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and the cruel unintended consequence is that because our security is so weak, now if somebody from the Middle East or China wants to see what the U.S. government is doing, it's not that difficult to get them.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's the reason why we see all these stories about China, you know, hacking into the United States. It's not because the United States isn't spending enough on cybersecurity. It's because our cybersecurity is crap.
Yep.
A complete amateur could crack into it.
Oh, yeah. There's been some embarrassing things there that have come out.
Yeah, like I remember there was one case where the U.S. Department of Defense, one of their networks got hacked. They traced it back to China, and they thought, oh my God, it's this big Chinese government conspiracy. The Chinese must have an organization completely dedicated to cyber warfare. Turns out they finally tracked down the real guy, and it was just a college student who did it out of boredom.
Yeah. Well, and you've got all these hacker networks there with all these botnets, and Chinese computers are really easy to hack for all sorts of reasons we could go into, but I mean, there's a lot of pirated software and stuff like that that are unpatched. And so what they do is they take over all these Chinese computers and they launch their attack from there, and it looks like it's coming from China.
And I've actually heard that's actually why many people thought North Korea was behind the Sony hack, is because apparently the bot, like, they didn't make the user profile look like it was from North Korea, but they kind of made, like, the coding look as if it was coming from North Korea when it wasn't.
Well, it was from a North Korean IP address.
Yeah.
When, if it was from North Korea, it would have been from a Chinese IP address, because they work with the Chinese to do that. So it was probably some schmuck's computer in North Korea that got hacked. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, White House's amendment isn't actually dead. It could be resurrected when the House and Senate conference to resolve differences in bills. That's happened before. But still, for having the audacity to say that only the bad guys could possibly be against his amendment, and not pretty much every security expert ever, Sheldon Whitehouse surpassed some, what I think you'll agree, is some very stiff competition to become this week's biggest bogon emitter. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.bogosity.tv. And now let's stuff the ballot box of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
And this week it goes to CNN, who kept trying to say that Hillary Clinton won the recent Democratic debate, despite the polls showing that Bernie Sanders got a much more favorable reaction, even according to CNN's own polls.
Oh great, this bullshit again.
Yep. And they said it was a, quote, surprisingly spectacular performance. Yet the online polls from C-SPAN, Time Magazine, and many others put Bernie way ahead of Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
So as the Drudge Report pointed out, Sanders won all of the major polls, quote, Sanders won the CNN Focus Group, the Fusion Focus Group, and the Fox News Focus Group. In the latter, he even converted several Hillary supporters. There wasn't, to this writer's knowledge, a poll he didn't win by at least an 18-point margin. But you wouldn't know this from reading the establishment press. The New York Times, The New Yorker, CNN, Politico, Slate, New York Magazine, and Vox all unanimously say that Hillary Clinton cleaned house. What gives?
That's simple. She's powerful and influential. I mean, heck, I remember seeing a documentary about Hillary Clinton, and it turns out that when she was first lady, she actually had a lot more controversy surrounding her than her husband did.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what did her husband do? I mean, bomb some children in Iraq and have an affair. What was Hillary Clinton doing? She was making a lot of backdoor deals with people in favor for political power and money.
Including some really shady customers, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Drudge also quotes Freddie DeBoyer saying, quote, Because Clinton has long been assumed to be the heavy favorite to win the presidency, these publications are in a heated battle to produce the most sympathetic coverage in order to gain access. That is a tried and true method of career advancement in political journalism. Ezra Klein was a well-regarded blogger and journalist. He became the most influential journalist in D.C., and someone I can tell you with great confidence that young political journalists are terrified of crossing, through his rabid defense of Obamacare and subsequent access to the president. That people would try and play the same role with Clinton is as natural and unsurprising as I can imagine.
And don't get me wrong, I hate Bernie Sanders, and I think he's just as bad as Clinton, but this is kind of stupid, you know?
I think his policies are as bad as Clinton, but I think in terms of dishonesty and corruption, Clinton leaves him behind.
Yeah.
That's just no contest there.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I will give Bernie Sanders credit for. At least he's honest for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like Hillary, where Hillary does all these really bad deals and pretends she's something not and all that.
Yeah, And even pretends like she's an outsider, which is a joke.
Oh, yeah. In this documentary, they showed an incident where she fired off some government employees simply because she wanted to recruit some of her cronies in there, and she basically ruined their reputation because instead of just firing them, she accused them of racketing, even though they didn't do that. And then when people said, what gives, Hillary Clinton? Why are you telling lies about people? She said, I didn't tell lies about people. It's this conspiracy against me.
Yep, the vast right-wing conspiracy. I remember all that. Yeah, I like how Bernie Sanders is all like, oh, we need to be more like Denmark, and his followers are like, oh, we need to be all like Denmark, as opposed to, you know, you could move to Denmark.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They can't do that, but we have to move to Somalia, even though Somalia isn't even remotely libertarian.
Not to mention, he doesn't understand the whole concept of Scandinavia, because, yeah, Scandinavia does some things right, but they also do a lot of things wrong. Now, yeah, their universal healthcare and all that is a really bad idea, and there actually are some people that are considering getting rid of it, but one thing that Scandinavia does do right is that, from what I've heard, they don't have an income tax, and it's much more easier to open a business there.
Yeah, in fact, Scandinavia was pretty much capitalist for like 150 years, and yeah, so all this, they're just riding on the prosperity of the past, kind of like we are.
Oh, yeah, because like I said, I have a friend in Norway who defends the Norwegian system, yet I know other people in Norway that said, yeah, the reason why Norway, you know, is doing well so far, you know, with our universal healthcare system is because we have oil money, and, you know, once that oil money and all that runs out, we're going to be in a predicament.
Well, to top it all off, CNN has been deleting comments on their Facebook page that express support for Bernie. In particular, CNN targeted posts that pointed out that CNN has a conflict of interest here. They're owned by Time Warner, who is Hillary's seventh largest donor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and if you want to get banned from CNN, just mention Rand Paul and you'll get banned for sure.
So some people at Media Equalizer started taking screenshots and going back later to see how many of them had been deleted. And, of course, they found quite a number of them pointing out things that they got wrong and pointing out this conflict of interest, and they just kept getting deleted. But like you say, they do that with Rand Paul, too. And those of us familiar with third-party campaigns, as well as Ron Paul's campaign for the Republican nomination in 2012... know that this is nothing new.
Yep, when asked the Republican convention, even though Ron Paul was the most perfect choice for the Republican nomination, especially because they were accusing the Democrats of spending too much, and Ron Paul was for slashing spending, they asked him, well, why didn't he get nominated? All the Republicans said, well, because no one voted for him. But then all the polls show he got a lot of support, but the Republicans didn't count it.
Oh, yeah, lots of people tried, but nope, the only votes for Mitt Romney counted.
But yeah, that's what these parties do, you know, if you don't vote for the person they want, they just don't count you.
And the major news media always gives disproportionately more coverage to the establishment candidates over those they perceive as challengers, so they keep pulling names from polls to cover the true amount of support they get. Like when Gary Johnson initially tried for the Republican nomination, he polled third at CPAC behind Romney and Ron Paul. When he polled enough in the regular news media polls to be included in a debate, they quickly withdrew his name from all future polls, and in what few polls he was included as a Libertarian candidate, he polled as high as 6% without getting anywhere near 6% of the coverage. I mean, their coverage is just not even close to what the people express an interest in.
Oh, yeah. You know, it reminds me of Citizens United when everyone was saying, oh, no, now the powerful lobbying groups are going to take over Washington. I'm just thinking, they already are. You know, they were in power long before Citizens United got in. They've been in power since America went the progressive route in the early 1910s.
In fact, you mentioned that Hillary documentary. That may have been the one.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton exposed. Yeah, she tried to get it banned in theaters.
Well, they had it on pay-per-view, and they said they couldn't show it because the McCain-Feingold Act says that you cannot mention the name of a federal candidate within 30 days of a primary election or 60 days of a general election, and that was what they sued over. I mean, this was absolutely free speech. How do they consider this as being something about, you know, letting
take over. Yeah, I understand it's a documentary, and, you know, you should take all the information from a documentary with a grain of salt, but still, it doesn't matter. Those campaign finance reform laws aren't meant to make the elections more fair. They're meant to keep the monopoly.
Yeah, it's rigging.
Yep, it's rigging. The Republicans and the Democrats do not want to lose their monopoly on political power. That's why they don't want independent parties involved.
If you want to hear a great description as to why, go to podcast.bogosity.tv and the search box, put in the name Jim Babka, and listen to when I had him on talking about this. He's great, and he's just so good at explaining this. But yeah, CNN is hardly the only one that does it. But being so blatant about it just has to make them this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this is Fu Manchu, and you're not, edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Chris Hangartner for joining me.
It's good to be back, Shane.
Until next time, here's a quote from John Perry Barlow. You now have two distinct ways of gathering information beyond what you yourself can experience. One of them is less a medium than an environment, the internet, with a huge multiplicity of points of view, lots of different ways to find out what's going on in the world, a cacophony of viewpoints that doesn't have any political coherence at all, a beautiful melee, but it doesn't have the capacity to create large blocks of belief. The other medium, TV, has a very uniform belief block. TV in America created the most coherent reality distortion field that I've ever seen. Therein is the problem. People who vote watch TV, and they are hallucinating like a son of a bitch. Basically, what we have in this country is government by hallucinating mob. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
That line kind of reminds me of a line from Voltaire. I forgot the exact quote, but it was basically, the way you can find out who wants to control you the most are the ones who want to censor you the most.
Yep.